We got some new test scores in the city of Milford, and it looks like we are certainly on track to continue with more progress, K through 12. And joining us now is the superintendent of schools, Dr. Anna Kutaye, is back with us. And Dr. Kutaye, welcome to the show. I was very excited. I was actually had a couple of nights of forums with the Board of Education candidates who are running this year. And this was the talk of the town, this and the long range facilities plan. So we'll get to that. But welcome back and tell us a little bit about the latest numbers.
Hello, Melissa. Hello, everyone. I am so grateful you reached out because I am still doing cartwheels over our great. I know. You know I would be doing cartwheels, too.
I know you would. Yeah, no, I'm picturing it. No, I'm with you.
So I just want to first start with a shout out to our incredible staff, our teachers, our principals, everyone that contributes to the great work of our school district. And we're seeing double-digit gains, Melissa. Yahoo! Over the last couple of years.
It's a big deal.
So we are, I don't know if the listeners know, but we take the SBA, that is the state assessment. And in Milford, we believe in lots of forms of indicators of success, but this is a really big one and one that's a very publicly consumed number. So in English language arts, we are looking at double-digit gains over the last couple of years, 13-point gains, 10-point gains, finally budging the SAT number at the high school. That has been a number that has been stuck for even before me. We saw a 10-point gain in the SAT, English Language Arts, and that is pretty impressive. But when I get to the math scores, Melissa, we are looking in third grade in 2 years, a 27-point gain. I mean, that is just phenomenal.
So I want to do a quick stop there, Dr. Kutaye, because I agree with you. First of all, if you look at not just Milford, but really across the state, across the country even, we had such a concern, and there still is a concern. I don't want to take that away. But after the pandemic, there was such a focus on learning loss, learning gaps, a lot of that. And to me, you know, as you just mentioned, when you look over a 2 year span to see a double digit jump like that, I think is really significant. And again, I agree with you. Teachers are a huge, huge, huge part of it. But it's got to come down to curriculum, though, as well, or something. I mean, what do you think is sort of the combination that leads to something like that? That's a huge jump in 2 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you're asking because, you know, in our world and research, there are just a handful of ways to get to that. And one is foundationally a guaranteed, coherent curriculum that you could see, like, let's say, across every single fourth grade room, that there isn't discrepancy. We have 8 elementary schools, Melissa, and can you imagine what it takes to bring, like, consistency so that every fourth grader is experiencing common learning tasks? So that's a big deal. Our investment in defining what is learning look like in every single classroom, we call it HQI, in Milford, High Quality Instruction, and that is teacher-developed, it is research-based, and we just say, this is what we want to see in every classroom. This is like good teaching, so we've invested so much into that. You know, there's been that whole conversation in Milford about shifting from intervention to acceleration. Interventionists, coaches, you've been around for that dialogue. I really think at the elementary, it's paying off. Look, we have student-centered coaching model that supports kids and teachers. Like, I just feel like all that's coming together. We're starting a new suite of assessments across the district that give teachers information, like real-time information. So the numbers we're talking about right now, Melissa, this is old news, right? It happened in May. We got the results in August, and these kids are now in the next grade. So while it's celebratory, teachers have different kids in front of them, and so we're just helping them develop the assessments they need to learn about the kids they have in front of them and be responsive to them, like today and tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Dr. Kutaye, I actually was not aware, because again, especially if you're one of these newer families that's only been, I've only been in Milford for a little over 6 years, it'll be 7 years now, but I was not aware, you know, correct. When you talk about the 8 different elementary schools, I didn't even know that there used to be. I learned this actually when I was doing the BOE forums. There used to be kind of this like culture, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, where it depended on which district you were in, which was the better elementary school. And I thought, I've never, in the years that I've been here, I've never heard of that. But again, I wasn't born and raised here. I'm, you know, Connecticut native. But that I, apparently was something that was really made a priority, you know, before the pandemic, it sounded like, was to have kind of this universal model for all eight elementary schools. So, you know, that was sort of one of the things that it felt like had to have shown the success rate in these regards. When you look at these test scores, that had to have played a role in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I got hired 8 years ago, Melissa, the board at the time, one of the directives was, we just want coherence, which is a fancy word of get everybody consistent, right? And I guess at one time there were different experiences depending on the elementary school you went to. And I think now if you talk to new families who are coming in and they're asking, I don't know, I hear about it on social media, you know, what school is the best or where should I go? And I really am proud that a lot of people in Milford say they're all great. You can't go wrong. Right. And so the learning experiences are common and consistent. And that, if you look in the research, Melissa, not to get too scientific here, is one of the key factors, characteristics of a highly successful school district, is that there's consistency and coherence. And, you know, I'm so proud of our elementary staff. They've done, and everybody, like, I don't want to, there's no favorite child here. You know how that goes, Melissa, right? Everyone's working really hard, especially post-pandemic. You know, Melissa, I was doing this really geeky thing and looking at our test scores pre-pandemic, which predates me. And I'm glad to say that in the SBA world, we are exceeding in many of the numbers, maybe not all, the performance of our kids pre-pandemic. So I know that a lot of people spend time on the COVID impact, but it looks like we're back. You know, like we're beyond those numbers before the pandemic and we're hitting a stride. And I'm just looking forward to great things in Milford.
So we have Milford Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Anna Gutaya, here, and we're talking about the latest test scores that came out. And again, this is a combination of what student results showed on the smarter balanced assessments, as well as SATs, and just talking about kind of the growth across grade levels and subject areas. We've got Superintendent of Milford Schools, Dr. Anna Gutaya, is here. And Dr. Gutaya, another report that came out this month, I don't know, Milford's been in the news a lot. It says that Milford Public Schools ranked number 29 in the state, earning an A letter grade in the new ranking report that was just released. And I think that's pretty significant to be in the top 30 out of 169 municipalities. But I do think that the long range facility plan, that does kind of meet where this is important, because I it feels like Milford could keep climbing. Milford could keep climbing to a better spot even. I mean, we should be very proud of that. But the long range facilities plan is really looking at, you know, what does the future hold for a lot of these buildings? One of the things that came up in every single district when I was moderating these forums with the Board of Ed candidates was the fact that we've got very old buildings. I think the youngest building is like 50 years old. So I wanted to let people know where we're at, the very latest with the long range facilities plan. And did we find a firm to do a study on if the best course of action could be consolidating, you know, for example, the two high schools into one, the three middle schools into two, and maybe eliminating some of the elementary schools as well? What's the latest on this?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking, Melissa. So we know that this is a Board of Ed process. So I just work alongside them. It's their decision. And at this point, the Board of Ed on Monday night voted to bring on Perkins Eastman as a independent party that will be doing the research around everything that we need to know to make these decisions. So. We've already met with them this week. They have launched their work, and you know, Melissa, right now their work is going to be in the background because it's such a heavy lift. I think there may be some monthly updates to the board as to where their work is, but we won't start seeing results till springish, because as you can imagine, it's a big deal, like looking for the land and looking at the viability and understanding the program needs. So it's not just a bricks and mortar and geography decision. It's So what do we want for our kiddos in the future? That relates significantly to the, you know, the niche ranking that you were referencing earlier about being in the top 30. So I think facilities is one aspect of, you know, being ranked an incredible school district, but not the only. So that's the facilities path right now.
So really quick, Dr. Kutaya, you said Perkins Eastman. Are they they're from this area? No, not Connecticut, but are they New York, Boston? Where are they from?
So they have an office in Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, they do. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And they've done Connecticut work. And in fact, one of the team members is a Milford resident. So there
interesting.
Is some commitment to, you know, just the goodness of our community. So there's personal commitment there on the team. So you'll probably start to see and hear from them on a monthly basis or so around that in providing updates to our Board of Education on what they are working on.
I think that's good. Thank you. And I do know that there are also forums. There was one this week, actually, where, you know, you want to continue to get feedback from parents as well. So I always encourage people.
I'm so glad you're asking.
Yeah.
So last night, right there in your neighborhood, we held our first MPS Vision 2030. We've launched that. Our goals expire in 2026. So I am asking families, so parents of current students and staff members, to come out. We have two more opportunities. So October 22nd, 7 p.m. at West Shore, and October 28th, 7 p.m. at Foreign. So important to note, Melissa, these are not facility dialogues, but this is like, what do you want for the future of Milford Public Schools? What learning opportunities should we invest in? What are our greatest challenges? And interestingly, last night, a lot of talk about technology and the pros and cons of using technology. Fiscal responsibility while at the same time giving our kids the best opportunities in our classroom. So if there's anyone out there listening who is either a staff member or a parent of a current student and they want to weigh in on that, I'm all ears. October 22nd and October 28th.
I'm trying to think of how I learned about this. Did I get an email about this? How, like,
yes,
I want to make
did.
Sure. Yeah, that's what
Since
I thought.
You're so, a mama in Milford. You
yeah,
got
no
an
kidding,
email.
Right? Well, because I can never remember if it's my news hat or my mom hat. I want to make sure people are connected and get the heads up because life is busy, obviously. But I want to make sure if they want to go to these meetings, and I encourage you to do so. This is exactly what I've talked about before. You want to see changes or you want to have your voice heard, please don't go to social media. Like, go to these meetings. Do that. How do they sign up for that? What did I do? I don't even know how I got connected to that.
So if you go to milforded.org.
Okay.
One of the scrolling banners we have is MPS Vision 2030.
Yes,
click on that, and there is a direct link to a JOT form to sign up.
Okay. Yep. Found it. There it is. It's as simple as what the superintendent just said. I'm going to put the link on our website, voiceofct.com, with your podcast, Dr. Kutaya, because, again, I cannot shout from the rooftop enough the importance of, you know, getting engaged locally, and especially those who feel like,
absolutely,
I don't have a kid, so why does this matter? Trust me, it matters. You're a taxpayer, right? Guess what? Your taxpayer dollars go to our schools, and it matters to have your voice. There are small business owners whose voice matters. Again, aunts, uncles, or again, if you live in the city of Milford, you got to be engaged in these conversations. So I'm going to link it to your podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. And Dr. Kutaya, I appreciate you always making the time for us, especially ahead of the school day. So thank you so much. We have run out of time today, but we'll talk again, I'm sure.